Welcome to Fueled by Grace. My name is Pastor Mark Shiver, and I'm so excited that you're listening to this episode of the podcast. Something really cool has been happening to me over the past few weeks. I describe it as I'm getting a lot of fresh revelation. Now, I know that the book of Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun. But to me, what God has been showing me is brand new. And I'm telling you, I'm so excited. I'm just pumped because as someone who enjoys and just loves to share the good news of the gospel and the finished work of Christ and the reality of all of these things, to see new things, wow, it's like being a kid at Christmas. And so what I'm hoping will happen is that you will see, as God has been showing me, some of these awesome truths, and that they will have an impact on your life. I was going to say that they will change your life, and I know we talked last time about how that's a little bit of a catchphrase that ministers often toss out there. But I'll be honest with you, it's changing my life. And I hope that listening to what God has me share with you in this episode and in some of the previous episodes will actually impact your life in a positive way. As you know, my goal here at Fueled by Grace is to encourage you in the love of God, to build you up and to just strengthen you in your faith so that you don't have any doubt that God loves you. He loves you deeply. He loves you passionately. He loves you without end. And I was thinking before I sat down to record, some people might say, well, yeah, Mark, we get that. We know God loves us. But I tell you what, there are so many Christians, so many believers that don't believe that God loves them. They might believe it in kind of a ethereal way or, you know, yeah, God loves me, the Bible tells me so, but they don't have a deep, just hardwired understanding and belief that they are actually loved by God. God loves you. He loves you so very much. And you know, the Bible says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And so no matter what fresh revelation or old revelation or new insight or old insight that the Lord instructs me to share on these podcasts, the goal is to build you up in your faith so that you can see how much God loves you. And that will change your life, I promise you. Passover is very, very important to Christians. And you might stop right there and say, hold on now, Mark, that was a Jewish thing. It happened in the book of Exodus, and we know it's one of the most important days on the Jewish calendar. But how can it be important to me as a Christian? We celebrate Good Friday. In fact, tomorrow and this whole week is what's been known as Holy Week, and Passover and Good Friday tomorrow, and of course, Sunday will be Easter, and we will be rejoicing in the reality that Jesus is alive and risen from the dead. But let's go back to several, well, I guess a couple of thousand years ago, or maybe even more, to when the children of Israel were enslaved in Egypt. Now, Egypt was a big deal at that time, a very strong nation, a very powerful nation, and they were ruled by someone called Pharaoh. A Pharaoh is like a king, and he was in charge of the entire nation. And the children of Israel had been enslaved for 400 years in Egypt, and they were relegated to making bricks and doing all manner of menial hard work and just laboring under the cruelty of the Egyptians during this time. And they cried out that, God, please send us a deliverer. And as you have likely heard the story, Moses came on the scene, and he was to be their deliverer. Now, if you've ever seen the movie The Ten Commandments, it does a really good job of portraying on the big screen what was going on here as God began to deliver the children of Israel from the tyranny of Egypt. And I want you to think back, if you've never seen the movie, close your eyes for a minute and just kind of get a picture, an image of a whole nation of people being subservient to another nation and being enslaved and in bondage and in captivity and being made to perform hard, hard work, and just because the other nation was stronger. And the people of Israel cried out. Well, God heard their cry. And as you know, the story tells us that God sent plagues onto the nation of Egypt. And some of them were kind of, yuck, He put frogs everywhere. And people had boils on their skin and locusts and hail. And it was just a tough time if you were living in Egypt during these things. All of these plagues. And in the movie, The Ten Commandments, we find Yul Brynner did a great job in the role of Pharaoh, but his heart would get hard and he would say, no, I am not letting the people of Israel go. I'm just not going to do it. So fast forward to the final plague. Moses said, if you don't let them go, then God is going to kill the firstborn of every household in Egypt. And, of course, Pharaoh was like, yeah, whatever. Well, this is where it gets really, really good and where, as believers, as Christians, as people who are born again, this story is so relevant and so very, very important. As you may recall, in Exodus 12, we'll pick up the story there. God tells Moses to tell each household to take a lamb for his family, and if your neighbor can't get a lamb or can't afford one, then share with your neighbor. And he tells him about how old the lambs are supposed to be and all of these technical things. And then it says in verse 7 of chapter 12 in Exodus, they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. And they're going to eat and eat bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. And all of this was to show that this was a significant night and their bitterness was going to disappear. And then God made a really strange request, didn't he? Put lamb's blood on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses. So here you are. Again, this takes a lot of creative, just kind of letting your mind settle and visualizing. All these people of Israel, they have these lambs, they've slaughtered them, they're going to eat them, but they're taking some of their blood and putting it on the doorposts and on the tops of the doors to their houses. Now, why in the world would God ask them to do that? Well, it's because God was going to send an angel, and in verse 12, on the same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. Verse 13, the blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. Again, if you've seen the movie The Ten Commandments, you can see that all of these folks were huddled in their houses, and this big shadow that looked like a giant finger came out of the sky, and there was fog everywhere, and you could hear the wailing and screaming from the homes that did not have the blood on the outside of their doors. And it was likely a very, very horrible night. Well, that's ridiculous. It's not likely that it was a horrible night. It was a very, very, very horrible night for the nation of Egypt. Now, there's no qualifier here that says, I will slay the firstborn of anybody 10 and under, or, from 15 to 35. It says, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals. Now, obviously, someone who had a 6-month-old baby that was their firstborn, they were not going to be exempt. But also think about this. There might be 13-year-old firstborns or 28-year-old firstborns. God was passing through Egypt, and no one was going to be exempt from judgment except for those who had taken the blood of a lamb and put it on the doorposts and tops of their homes. So let's look at what happened. God came down and all of these people were slain. And it was a horrible, horrible situation. And can you imagine in the nighttime, you're just sitting there holding your child or holding your loved one and screaming and crying and not really knowing what was going on. I don't know what type of messaging they did back then, but it certainly wasn't instant. And it's very possible that there were people spread all over the country who had no idea that this was going to happen. So again, can you imagine mom and dad and a couple of kids, and all of a sudden, for no reason at all, the firstborn dies. A few minutes ago, he was playing or talking or doing whatever it is that kids would do at that age, dead. Parents, totally without any understanding. Why did this happen? And then they talk to their neighbors because they hear them screaming and they find out that everyone in the country has lost their firstborn. God judged Egypt. He sure did. And the interesting thing for us as believers is that, and what's so very, very important that we see, God showed me the other day, just quite amazingly, I wasn't really looking for anything. I wasn't doing a Bible study, but Romans chapter 33, I'm sorry, Numbers chapter 33. Now, if you get into the Old Testament, you understand that there are lots of chapters that are kind of a challenge to read where it talks about so-and-so begat so-and-so, and then so-and-so begat so-and-so, and on it goes. Well, in Numbers 33, it does that, but it does it differently. It talks about all the places that the children of Israel went after they left Egypt. But this is what is so amazing and so very powerful. And I want you to see this so much. I'm praying that God would open the eyes of your heart to see this. In Numbers 33, it says, here are the stages in the journey of the Israelites when they came out of Egypt by divisions under the leadership of Moses and Aaron. And so it's kind of a recap as the journey began as they were leaving Egypt. And the Lord commanded Moses to record the stages in their journey. Now, verse 3, the Israelites set out from Ramesses on the 15th day of the first month, the day after the Passover. There wasn't a couple of weeks to Pharaoh hemming and hawing around. No, this was instant. You win, Moses. Your God has just, you know, game, set, match. We're done. You guys get out of here. We can't take this anymore. All of the firstborn of the nation of Egypt are dead. So Moses, get on out of here. Get your people and please leave. That's what Pharaoh was saying. And I hate to keep bringing up this movie if you haven't seen it. Again, if you've not watched the Ten Commandments, it's really worth it. So in this scene, Pharaoh's own son, his firstborn, of course, died. And he's there with his wife and he's got his son laying in the arms of some big giant statue. And of course, there's no way that his son is going to be brought to life by this big giant statue, because even though Pharaoh worshiped him as a god, all he was a big giant statue. There was no power there. And so even Pharaoh suffered the judgment of God. So he was ready to give in, told Moses, take your people and leave. The day after the Passover, we'll continue to read, they marched out defiantly in full view of all the Egyptians who were burying all their firstborn, whom the Lord had struck down among them. For the Lord had brought judgment on their gods. I want you to take a moment and even hit the pause button if you need to, because this is so important. I want you to get this picture in your mind. Here's Israel. They're leaving. They're leaving defiantly. And they are in full view of all the Egyptians who were burying all of their firstborn. What I see is this giant dirt road filled with the people of Israel. And as they're leaving, there are people on the sides of the road and out in fields digging graves for their loved one that just died, for their child or their adolescent or their adult firstborn. They're there. And can you imagine? This family is screaming, wailing uncontrollably, sobbing, crying out, what happened? Why did this happen? And the people of Israel are leaving, and they are literally walking through death as they approach the exit out of Egypt. This has got to be one of the most amazing scenes in the history of mankind. A nation is leaving, and all around them, people are digging graves to put their firstborn into that grave. And again, you know, they didn't have instant messenger back then. Can you imagine people in rural areas far away from the capital digging these graves, and they don't understand? They don't know maybe that they've been judged. All they know is that they sat down to eat dinner, and all of a sudden their firstborn was dead. The awful horror and tragedy that gripped the nation of Egypt that day was on full display as it says Israel marched out defiantly in full view of all the Egyptians who were burying their firstborn. I can't imagine anything like this. And you know what? It also says that the Egyptians gave them gold and silver. They plundered the entire nation. So not only were they leaving and leaving defiantly, but they were leaving with the wealth of Egypt. Not only had God judged them and taken their firstborn, God was allowing his people to take all of the wealth. Pharaoh didn't care. Just get out. Leave, please. Can't take this anymore. And this is the scene as they walk forward through death. Death all around them. And they see that they are about to leave Egypt. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to pass through the door of Egypt into the land that God had promised them. Now, they would have to journey to get to that land, obviously. But as they left Egypt, they passed through the door that separated the boundary of the nation of Egypt into where they were going. And this is what I want you to see that is so amazing. Because Israel was walking through death, they were leaving behind bondage, captivity, slavery, and heading for the door out of Egypt. And my friends, my brothers, my sisters, whoever you are that happens to be listening to this, this is what happens when we become a child of God. When we believe and receive his gift of salvation, we leave behind captivity and bondage and slavery, just like the nation of Israel did. And we walk through death, out of death, through the door. And what is the door? The door is Jesus Christ himself. Oh my goodness. We walk through Jesus into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus, you know, said, I am the door. He said this of himself. He said, I am the door, and the sheep go in and out and find pasture. What an amazing thing that Jesus is the door. John chapter 10, verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, it would take longer than I have for this episode to really break that verse down, but we're going to get into this in future episodes as the Lord allows. But listen, You've got to tie all of this together. This will change your life if you can see it. I'm praying, dear God, let everyone that listens to this see this. You've got to close your eyes and use your imagination and see this nation of people who had been bound and held captive and been in slavery for 400 years. In a night, everything changed. And now they were defiant and they were wealthy and they were leaving and they were walking through death. Death was all around them, people screaming and wailing and mourning and crying out because their firstborn was dead. And here, the people of Israel walking out of Egypt through the door into the promises of God. And listen, when you and I receive Christ, we leave behind captivity, we leave behind bondage, we leave behind slavery to sin, and we walk through death, the death of this world, and we walk through the door, Jesus Himself. And it says we'll go in and out and find pasture. What does that mean, find pasture? Well, we know David, who was the king of Israel at one time, but he started out as a shepherd. And as you know, he wrote many of the Psalms, the 23rd Psalm, in all of its just wonderful verses. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." And this is what we have when we walk in and out. We find pasture, Jesus said. That gives us the idea that we find rest. Yes, brothers and sisters, we find rest for our souls. When you have lived a life in bondage and captivity and slavery to sin, and you realize that Jesus is the door into another reality, into the promises of God, into the kingdom of heaven, you will find rest for your souls. You'll find pasture. And this is so important because I believe God is speaking to someone. You're listening to this episode right now, and you got born again a long time ago. But your Christian life has just been miserable because you're bound to sin. You're a slave to sin. You feel like you're being held captive and you can't find any pasture. You can't find any rest. Well, it's no accident that you are listening to my voice right now, because God would say to you to just walk through the door, walk into Jesus' loving arms and allow Him to give you rest. Allow Him to give you pasture. See yourself not only as living on this earth where we can see with our natural eyes, but also that you are a resident of the kingdom of heaven. You go through Jesus and you enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, the kingdom of heaven, many of us are looking forward to mansions and dwelling places and streets of gold, and that all just sounds so wonderful and amazing. And who knows? The Bible says we haven't even thought of the good things that God has for those who love Him. But how about this? Romans chapter 14, verse 17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." So let's put all of this together. Just like Israel, you were under the blood of Jesus. They were under the blood of a lamb that Moses told them to sacrifice. They put that blood on a door, the door to their home. We allow God to apply that blood to us. And when judgment falls, it doesn't fall on us. Oh boy, I want to preach now so bad. Judgment doesn't fall on us because it fell on Jesus. And He rose from the dead, as we're going to celebrate on Easter. And He came forth from the grave, the firstborn of many brethren. And He ushered in a new reality, a new place the kingdom of heaven. But it's not eating and drinking. It's righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. So, just like Israel, you walk out of slavery and bondage and captivity, and death may be all around you, the death that just permeates this world, because we live in a fallen world. And just as Israel could see, they were heading to the exit of Egypt, and we're going to step into their journey to the promises of God. You can see Jesus, and you step through the door of Jesus into the kingdom of heaven, and you have righteousness, and you have joy, and you have peace in the Holy Spirit. Folks, Jesus said, we'll find pasture. Many of you just need rest. You just need life not to be so hard, and for you to find a place where you can just find rest, find pasture. Jesus said he is the door, and that's where you find rest. Hebrews says in chapter 4, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For those of you listening that are just bound, even though you're born again, you're just bound to habits or to addictions or to sin. Listen, put yourself in that gigantic crowd of Israelites who were leaving Egypt, and close your eyes and realize that you have wealth. You have every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. It's yours. And put yourself in that crowd and close your eyes and imagine you're walking through a place where people are dying and screaming and burying their dead. But that's not you, because judgment did not fall on you, and it's not going to fall on you. It fell on Jesus, the Lamb, and his blood has been applied to you, and you have come forth from the grave with him. The Bible says we are raised with him, a new creation. And that new creation finds the door and goes in and out and finds pasture, finds rest, finds Jesus. You may have found Jesus years ago, but you don't have a relationship with him. You don't have any idea what it means to find rest for your soul. And here you are, listening to this. I hope you will be encouraged, and I hope you will see yourself just as Israel was, walking through the valley of the shadow of death, as David says in Psalm 23, but not fearing any evil. Why? You don't have to be afraid, because judgment is not going to fall on you. This is so liberating. You can step out of bondage, out of captivity, out of being a slave to all of the things that are holding you back from an enjoying life. And Jesus said, enjoying it more abundantly. But you've got to see the reality that Jesus is the door to righteousness. Jesus is the door to peace. And Jesus is the door to joy in the Holy Spirit who now lives in you. That's why Paul said, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Do you see it? You can walk out of death. As David said, you can walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Do you know that Israel, it says they walked defiantly out of Egypt. They were no longer afraid. Listen, you don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live in fear. You've been set free. Praise God, just like Israel had been set free, and they defiantly walked out of Egypt, and they saw in plain view people all around them digging graves. But they weren't doing it in silence, I bet. I'll bet the screams and the mourning in Egypt that day was unbelievable, loud and everywhere. And yet the people of Israel were walking out of bondage, and they didn't have fear. It says they were defiantly walking out, and they had the wealth of Egypt with them, and they could see the door, so to speak, where Egypt ended and a new place began. Some of you need to look back and realize, wow, I got born again. What does that mean? Well, Paul says we're a new creation. Begin to see yourself as a new creation and to see your entire salvation experience, just like what happened to Israel in Egypt. See that you've walked out of slavery and bondage and captivity, and you've walked through the valley of the shadow of death, and you haven't had fear because you know you're not going to be judged because Jesus received the judgment. And you can walk towards him. When you were born again, that's what you did. You walked towards him into his arms. And you may not have realized it at the time, but you walked through him into the kingdom of heaven. He's the door. He is the door to a whole new reality. And your Christian life can turn itself completely upside down as you listen to these words and begin to see all that God has done in your life when you became born again. I pray that you will see that you're no longer bound, no longer a slave, no longer captive, that you don't have to live in fear, that you're not living under the judgment of God, and that you can go through Jesus in and out and find pasture, find rest for your souls, and know that the kingdom of heaven is righteousness. You have righteousness. You are righteous. The Bible says we are the righteousness of God in Christ. He gives us joy unspeakable and full of glory and peace that passes understanding. Saints, receive today a whole new understanding of what happened when you were born again. Put yourself in that crowd, leaving Egypt with death all around him, and boldly, defiantly know, I'm not going back there. I'm leaving. I am not being judged by God because Jesus was, and I am in the place of stepping into the promises of God. And from this day forward, I'm going to believe that I am a resident of two places, this earth, which is fading away, and the kingdom of heaven. And that I have in me the Spirit of God who gives me righteousness, joy, and peace. I know this went a little long, and I'm sorry for that, but folks, I just want so much for you to see. I just want so much for you to see and be excited about who you are and what happened when you became born again. And if you're going to take communion today or tomorrow or whenever over this weekend as we celebrate, take that broken body and that juice that represents, or wine that represents, Jesus' blood, and know that you've been set free. You have been set free, and you can boldly come to the throne of grace and find mercy and help in your time of need. God loves you. Thank you for listening. I do need your help. God is moving mightily, and I believe that many need to hear this podcast. Just share it with someone, won't you? Send them a text with the link and maybe an email, or tell them about it. Post it on Facebook. That would help so much to get the word out about the goodness and the love of God. Until our next episode, I want you to know, if you need prayer, you can click on the comment tab on the website, fueledbygrace.com, and we'd be glad to pray for you.